Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Amen. Today is a very, very serious teaching. And I beg you in the name of Jesus, I want you to listen in a way you have not listened to a sermon before. Is that okay now? Call yourself spirit, soul, and body. Be here. Is that okay now? Who is ready for the word today? Are you sure you're ready? Thank you, Jesus. I want to show you a scripture. The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3, verse 17 to 18. Habakkuk, chapter number 3, from verse 17 to 18. All right, I want us to see something in that scripture. Habakkuk 3, from verse 17 to 18 says, Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the whole leaf shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the land, from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. Now, listen, I've seen people try to explain the difference between joy and happiness. Is there a difference? Yes, there is. But in terms of manifestation, they are very similar. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Joy and happiness. The only difference is that the source of joy, physical tribulations cannot take it out. You are happy, God has done something new. It's okay to be happy. Okay? But the moment things are not going the way they should go, the lamp of happiness may go off. That of joy is consistent. The only thing that can affect joy is when you are no longer in tune with God. And that's why David said, renew within me, right? Say, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. That is, whatsoever touches my relationship with God is what touches that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right, so what is he saying? He said, even if things go south, in the sense that there's no productivity, things are not yielding, things are not fine, things are bad. I've been saying this. Why is there no meat in the stock? Why is there so many bad things? He said, yet. Somebody say yet. Come on, say it again. Say yet. Now, we must have those kind of Christians. That the kind of things that will really shake your faith, the devil will have to spend himself out. There are teachings that we must not miss as members of the body of Christ. Particularly so that we can raise an army of individuals who are very strong. My motivation is not the physical things I see, no. My motivation is not just when things are nice. I am saying, even if things get to a point where I cannot explain, yet will I rejoice. Amen. Yet will I what? Rejoice. So what's the essence of this teaching? Why are we teaching a subject like this for the body of Christ? Particularly because we are yet to have blueprint, messages that are blueprint for those who are passing through, written by those who have passed through, for those who will pass through. That in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of trials, we can find direct word from the lip of God that resonates with the situation, because God knows what is coming. Okay? So I want to show you practical ways to survive all forms of vices and tribulations, to come out unspotted. And if you miss the part one, you have missed too much. So you need to go back to it. That's basically introduction. So today, I start, all right, on a different dimension, and I want you to please follow me. In the book of John, chapter number 6, from verse 33. John, chapter number 6, from verse 33. Now, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, in this world, you will have what? Tribulations. That is, once in a while, every now and then, there will be things that will attempt to shake your faith. Are you aware that breakup is a tribulation? They've not broken your heart before. You will cry. They call it breakfast. The one that you can't eat in peace. Okay, breakup is a tribulation. I mean, two people have been dating for 5 years. And just when they began to talk about introduction, then they check genotype not compatible. That's a tribulation. And the question now is, where do I start from? And that's a question that must be answered well, because people have married fools because they didn't answer that question. Instead of choosing to go ahead with somebody you know is not God's will, because you don't know where to start from, you now prefer to marry the person. Never. So in this world, we face what? Tribulations. There'll be issues. There'll be trials of faith. You can write down John chapter number 16, verse 33. Write down James 1. James chapter number 1 from verse 2 to 4. James 1 from verse 2 to 4. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Count it all joy. James 5 from verse 13 to 15. James 5 from verse 13 to 15 also said, if anyone is afflicted or sick, let them go to the elders. So it is possible to be sick. It is possible to go through affliction. We are not inviting it, but we are saying it happens. And I'm also saying that it is a setup to believe that once you are a believer now or a Christian, come to Jesus so that you never face problem again. It's not true. As long as we're in this world, there will be tribulations. Two people can be trusting God for a child, expecting a child, and then, you know, different things happen. We must not run away from that fact. It is possible that they call for a donation in church and somebody has just made the donation with the whole of your heart, and the following week they sack you. That honestly does not testify to the fact that you have sown on the wrong field. Sometimes the way up is that you first go down. Except a grain of wheat first falls to the ground and what? Dies. It what? Abides alone. So sometimes when God is shifting you from one level to another, it looks like he's taking you down. Meanwhile, it is progress. Progress is not necessarily measured by that which excites. If you have a garage that can take one car, and now you have been trusting God for another and is on the way, and they will not give it to you until that garage is empty, and somebody comes to steal that old car, is that a blessing or a curse? There are things that needs to leave you for something new to find a way. Yes, you may cry. But as far as God is concerned, it is blessing. It will take time to know if the things you lost are real losses, including the people that left you. That is, in the immediate, you cannot conclude. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an instance. Somebody broke your heart and left you, male or female, so it doesn't look like I'm one-sided. Okay? And then the person went to marry somebody else. They did happy wedding. All right? Talk of the town. Everywhere. You still waited for like 2-3 years. And then you read in paper. The person has stabbed the person they married to death. Has God blessed you or you had loss? I'm saying conclusion takes time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Conclusion what? Takes time. You don't just decide. I want to give you an illustration, and I feel it pertains to someone. This is a specific word for someone. Are you aware that there are people that give you gifts, and the idea of the gift is to own you? If such people refuse to favor you, it is not disfavor, it is freedom. God has just freed you from slavery. Yes. Be careful when the gift people are giving you is a negotiation of your worth. Sometimes it is. And you will not even know, and you are there sold. God began speaking to Abraham when he was around 75. And at 99, the child he was trusting God for has still not come. David was anointed as king at about 12 or thereabout. And at 28, 29, he was still a fugitive running up and down. So I've given you some introduction. Now I want us to pick a scripture and look at this scripture in a different light. You want to ask yourself, how did Jesus survive the cross? By surviving, I'm not saying that he hanged on the cross and he didn't die. How did Jesus endure the pain that came with the cross? Hebrews chapter number 12 now. Hebrews 12. Please turn your Bibles there quickly. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm just getting started. Just follow me, okay? We are going on a very serious journey this morning. Hebrews 12 from verse 2. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of what? Our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Listen to this. Can we read this together again with intentionality? Are you there now? One, two, three, go. One, go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it means that Jesus didn't just go to the cross. There was actually a joy that was set before him. You must understand that. Listen, let me break that down in the simplest way for you to understand. Meaning that if you go through tribulation and the only way you claim to be bigger than Jesus is that there's nothing you are looking at and you're excited. Let me explain. There is a language with which we survive the deepest turbulence. It is the language of "these two shall pass." And that's why you read your Bible and you see the word "and it came to pass." And it came to pass. This season came. Yes. But it actually is not staying. It's coming to pass. This season came. I cried. But it's only coming to pass. Somebody say it came to pass. Do you know what that means? Say, my tears came, but not to stay, to pass. Do you understand that? Meaning that as we go through those things, we look at it. You must see beyond the problem. You must see the aftermath of the problem. When you see the aftermath, it will inject something in you that will make you endure it. Listen to what I'm saying. We have talked down hope. When people don't have faith, they may not get what they are asking God for. But when people lack hope, they die. Please be seated. So when the Bible said, for the joy that was set before him. Now, this is not faith. This is something he was hoping to see. That somebody has just failed an exam. Let me give you an illustration. All right. I remember during my NYC years, I was serving. All right. I served in a secondary school clinic. That was my PPA. I was posted to the clinic of the school. But because I love to teach, so I started filling in for one of the teachers taking the student biology. So I will fill in and help her when she's busy and take the student biology. The clinic of that school became a Bible study arena. Student wants to come. Nobody told them I was a pastor, but they just knew they should be here. You see, one time they rushed in a student to the clinic and I was not on seat. You see, and the principal got angry. That was 2 days to the end of our service. That was the week to have our final clearance and go. Then that same week, the principal got so angry. A woman that we've been relating well just said, Copa Lazarus, you did not serve here. You were never on duty. This. Call somebody. You are taking this letter to NYSC that this person did not serve. Of all the days I've been working, final moment. You said I didn't serve. Come and take this to NYSC. You didn't serve here. Didn't. And everybody got that. They were looking at me, trying to beg. But they knew they could not beg her because their job too was at stake. I mean, I was on my own. My friends who had come. So the day this one came out was the final day for clearance. All the friends who have done their own clearance in their own places came to rejoice with me. And now it was a case of let's beg. And I sat down there. And the lady they gave the letter to go submit to NYC was looking at me and giving the impression, you know, I don't want to go, but I have to go. You know. And while I sat down there, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, the force that is bringing you out of this city is stronger than the force trying to keep you there. That was it. The moment I heard that word, I said, that was it. The lady who took the letter could not submit the letter for 3 days. She risked her job. She could not submit the letter. One day, the principal just woke up and said, Lazarus, you are even my friend, self. You are forgiven. Ah, what if they have submitted? Say it loud and clear. The force bringing me out. You are not saying it well enough. Listen, when we make confessions of faith, we need to hear it. You listen to what I'm saying. Listen, sit down. Let me give you an illustration. The Bible said, if you will have faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed, you will tell mountains be removed. You understand what I'm saying? People say that thing is calm. Now I have faith. So not even mountain now. AC be removed. That's not what the Bible is saying. Mustard seed was used because of the nature of a mustard seed. It is the smallest, but it gives the biggest trees. It means if you have a small iota of faith that can grow, as it grows, mountains will move. Listen to how that faith works. That faith doesn't grow until you fertilize it with words. I have told you again, when we make confessions, we are making it for two people to hear. You. Because the mountain must move in your heart first. The devil needs to hear also. Is that okay now?
Yes,
the word of faith in your mouth is God talking.
Yes,
Let me show you a scripture before you make that confession again. Isaiah chapter number 55 from verse 10. Isaiah 55 from verse 10. Please give me from verse 10. Let's look at it. Isaiah 55 from verse 10. Look at this very interesting scripture. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it what? Bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me what? Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Meaning that the word of God is a messenger. When that word is sent forth, it will come back with the result. Be careful of being excited about a destination you didn't send word to. Be careful. Let me tell you something. And I'm being honest with you. When we came to Abuja this year, in fact, for some few months, we're holding service in our parlor. I always tell them, a time is coming this same year. Everybody in this city wants to attend this church. Let me tell you, by this time next year, you will not believe that this is the same church you are seated. There is no new phase that opened that the word didn't go ahead. That is why they say a closed mouth is a... Because what opens your destiny is the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you notice you have dated 3 people and they are wrong people. Don't keep quiet. You tell your friends, if you ever see me walk down the aisle holding somebody's hands, be sure I married right. Don't pity me, don't ask. You can bank on it. That is how you send word ahead. Can you try that now?
Yes,
say it loud and clear. The force
bringing
me out of my situation
is stronger,
bigger,
stronger,
and bigger
than the force
trying to keep me there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Forget See, I've said this again and again. If the devil is that powerful, he should not announce that he will kill you. Let him do it. The force keeping me alive is stronger than the force trying to take my life. Men like me don't die in a hurry. I'm saying it so you can say it. I watched the testimony of Reverend Dr. Omar Opai when they forced him, you know, the assassination attempt to drink acid. And he interrupted them. They don't force me. Give me the cup. Then he swallowed everything. All right. I heard his own personal testimony. And when he swallowed, he said, "Are you waiting for me to fall down and die?" Say, "This is Omar." He said, "Men like me don't die. We don't go like that." Say it again loud and clear. Men like me,
men like me
don't die in a hurry.
Don't die in a hurry.
Now, sit down a minute. See, the proof that you have been so taught is that there is no room, there will no longer be found a space in your life for assumptions or predicament. The word of God will cover all the loopholes. Do you understand what I'm saying? The word will cover. So when the Bible says for the joy, look at this, that was set ahead of him. Look at the way Jesus, listen. Let me ask you a question. Who set the joy ahead of him? Let me show you. Go and read your Bible. You will never find anywhere that Jesus spoke about his death and did not speak about his resurrection. So when the Bible said, if the spirit of him that raised Christ, what is that? It is the spirit of faith. We have this same spirit of faith. We hear, therefore we what? Speak. The spirit of faith is a speaking spirit. Do you understand? Jesus himself did not leave his resurrection to probability. He powered it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can with the word. Listen to the word of God. That is the word that he used to create everything. The word can recreate. The word can. I share this story with you. Alright? Because the Lord God told me. He said, "Son, listen. People are taking you as just a teacher. Lest the dimension of the anointing upon your life is what is not for them. But when you go out, there is a very strong grace here for healing." Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. I shared the story of a woman that sat under my teaching. By the time she got up, a wrapper fell. Because in the place of sitting under, she is alive. She's on the island in Lagos. In the place of sitting under the word, her body shrank. She lost 14 kg. Supernaturally. Okay? That's the sovereign hand of God. Listen. She had diabetes. It disappeared. It was reversed. High blood pressure, it was reversed. When she saw what happened, she called the daughter and said, "Come and speak with pastor." Said, because the daughter had a very big growth. Are you following what I'm saying? Big growth on her neck. And then the girl called me. I mean, when I went to minister somewhere around Ondo State. When I finished ministering, I was so tired. When she called me out of honor, I had to pick. We're gisting. "Ah, how are you doing? How is mommy? Okay, this is..." I was just somehow just in the mood to gist. Then I said, "Okay, so we talked some other time. God bless." Say, "Ah, pastor, the thing my mommy said I should call you for, the growth." I said, "Ah, it's true. But that growth is gone." She said, "Please just pray." I said, "But it's gone." I said, "Just pray." So I said, "Father, we thank you because this growth is gone. We thank you, give you praise." And she said, "Amen." She called me the following day. She said, from the moment she dropped the call, she could not stop coughing. She said she coughed herself till she slept off tired. Listen to what happened. When she woke up, the old growth had busted. That is not the testimony. The testimony was that there was a brand new fresh skin under. The word. Can you believe the word the way you believe your name? My name is Femi Lazarus. I don't need any convincing for me to know. I have life in Christ. My life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. Nobody needs. Can you sow more tithe? Let me show you a scripture. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Abuja, are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Now, listen to this. Look at what David described in Psalms 23. Many of us have read this scripture, but you need to have a different perspective. He said, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. Somebody say it again. Hold on a minute. When you read that scripture, don't rush. There are two things you must admit. The moment you say God is my shepherd. Number one, you must admit he's your shepherd. Automatically, that makes you a sheep. Now, talk to me now. I said automatically, if God is your shepherd, you're a sheep. True? Now, it is wrong to say you shall not want until you have admitted to know what a sheep is. Until then, you will want. So if the Bible said the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? It means the shepherd feeds the sheep. So I must study how the sheep feeds. The sheep belongs to a category of animal they call ruminant animals. They have four chambers of stomach. The reticulum, the rumen, the omasum, the abomasum. Four chambers. So when they heat, it goes to a chamber and it is stored. Is that okay now? Then they go and find a cool place. Then they sit down and they begin to chew. It's called chewing the cud, or what you call a regurgitation. It is their ability to bring back that which has been taken, and they are chewing. Listen, this is when you see a Christian speaking it, but there's no Bible in his front. It's bringing back. That food will not do his body any good until you bring it back and rechew. Don't just listen. Lie down beside the still waters. That's the essence. Then, through the help of the Holy Spirit, begin to bring back. It is called meditation. Say, wait, Apostle said this in church. I have not believed it enough. Then you bring it back. It is that which will rechew that benefits your body. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's meditation. Meditation now is not done with a closed mouth. No. The moment you notice that there's a loophole in my life, it looks as if I've not believed this thing well enough, the enemy can take advantage of it. Go find scriptures on that. Listen, read it. Then you can plug into worship. Create a ventilated space in your spirit. Then begin to bring it back. I cannot die. Listen, some of you notice that the devil has been bringing the thought of a sickness, one particular one, repeatedly. When you pass in front of an hospital, maybe there's a specialist hospital for kidney issues, the devil says, you know, one day you'll be on dialysis. Don't respond to that thought with thought. It is now warfare, and the sword must go out of your mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are there people here who have experienced anything around that area before? I'm just still introducing. Are you sure? Can I give you a minute? See, listen to what. Don't play church. This 1 minute, what you are going to do? Enter warfare mode. Get up now, everybody. Get up. Now, get up. Put the word of God on your lips. Then, listen. Directly face. Don't do general. Okay? That particular thing that has been coming, pick it up now. Directly confront it with the word. Maybe the thought that you'll be a widow, the thought that you'll be a widower, the thought that you'll lose your child, the thought that you'll have diabetes, or somebody has had your. Now confront it with the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, don't look at me. Look at that situation and attack it now. You have 1 minute. I want this to be loud and clear. Okay? That is how we fight, and that's how we win. Sakante kredi sopalakatish. Hey! Sekente roko sikrende roko shente. You have 30 more seconds, please. You have 30 more seconds. Krati shefene kebai. Lante kredis to friend de rukosifradish.
You have a track record of keeping your word. You're not about to stop doing it now.
Oh yes, in Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Sit down, everybody. I just sense very strongly that I should, you know, teach you this. There are medical conditions and sicknesses that has the ability to be genetic. I've done several research and done several presentations on the subject of cancer. And sometimes you want to look at the factors that can make people predisposed to it. And your heart begins to beat when you see somebody in the family breast cancer, another person colon cancer. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't just move on and say it can't be me. Stand on the word till you move the mountain here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your life is too important in God's scheme. We can't leave it to chance. If anything happens to you today, there are people that will assume that that's God's design. But we are saying that's not the design. And that's why you must know the design. So it is not changed. Praise God. I sense we need to say it again. Lift up your right hand. Say, men like me don't die in a hurry.
Men like me don't die in a hurry.
The spirit of faith I'm looking for, that hunger, it has not got to that boiling point. I need to see the anger. Say it again. Men like me don't die in a hurry. Two more times. That mountain needs to move on the inside. Say it again. Men like me don't die in a hurry.
Men like me don't die in a hurry.
Failure is not in my DNA. See, listen. DNA could mean what it means medically, but it can also mean the divine nature of the Almighty. I have it. No. Men like me don't fail. No. It is a consciousness. Hallelujah. Shout and give God praise. Now, sit down, listen. So when the Bible says, for the joy that was set ahead of him, he endured the cross. Listen to what I'm saying. Where is the ahead? In the heart. In the heart. Where was he seeing that joy? In the heart. It is the full persuasion of faith. It is the full persuasion of faith. There is a subject matter that is grossly misunderstood in the body of Christ. The nature of God in respect to predestination and all that. It needs to be well taught in the simplest way possible. Listen, let me tell you how we go for healing meetings. So, some of you were there with us on OAU campus earlier this year. A boy was wielding. Not only has he been on wheelchair all his life, the leg had formed what looked like S. It was twisted. Okay? And it's been like that. When if you are running healing meeting and there are people they will wheel in, that if care is not taken as the pastor, you will almost say, did I send you? Okay? You will almost say that. There are things that may almost take faith from your heart, unless where you got that faith from is deeper. As I held the leg of that boy, it was so soft, like you are holding a shawarma. That's the practical. So it's a thing of, if we drag, if you say walk, in fact, you will complicate the leg now, because you will just scatter his bones. His femur, everything will rupture. But as I closed my eyes and held him, and in the place of prayer, I have seen that everyone I prayed for got healing. That's the joy set ahead of me. Now, for that joy, I could ignore everything called doubt. When I dragged that boy out of the wheelchair, people were surprised that he could walk. It is a level of faith to pray for the sick. That's still faith. But it is special faith, or what is called the gift of faith, to drag the person out. and those twisted legs as soft as that who stand. It is in the heart. Where you are seen from must be deeper than the problem you are seeing. It is in the heart. This is the reason why we go for meetings. Listen to what I'm saying. There is no such thing as one meeting was better. It will always be going higher and higher. That's the fact. There is a point where you are no longer guesswalking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, you have found, you have lambano, you have handled something. Say it, I hear it,
I
see it, and I hold it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look up. Please be seated. Let me give you another illustration because you need to hear this before we go forward. In 1999, there was a case on OAU campus of cultism and all that. There was this particular, that was when this guy was killed, Africa, and probably will know those story. But there was a particular guy in that story that when the cultists came to the room where they went to kill those boys, he was just an hostel boy who was feeling hot and went to sleep outside. And they shot him, I think, 9 places on his chest and stomach. 9 places. How many places? 9. What are the odds that you will miss vital organs? I'm telling you, 9 times is very slim. Close range, bad. It will actually rupture out the organs from the back. All right? 9 places he was shot. They said the moment they resuscitated him from the hospital, the first statement he said was, "I can't die like this." We are not saying predicament are powerful. We are saying it matters the kind of man it met. I'm trying to break you into something, and I'm not going to leave you behind. I have had to stand with people at their last moment, sick, having to pray for them, having to get calls. Somebody has cancer, somebody has this. And the first thing I want to do is to check the kind of person that this sickness met. I need to gauge that person. Because we can get 100% result if we know how. Sometimes you just pray for the sick and say, "Now be healed." No! There are people I pray for, and I tell the family members, from this moment, let nobody mention the name of this condition around this person. Get me tips on healing. Let it play around the clock. Sometimes those who kill the person are those around. Say, "This thing is getting worse." They are making calls around the person, and the person is taking in debts, and you want the person to leave. There is a protocol. You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. Don't wait till things are bad before you start learning how to fight. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We must understand how to wield this thing. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you sure you are following what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I'm not going to leave you behind. We're going to practicalize this. Everybody, okay? Are you with me now? Yeah. Get up. Let's practicalize this. Take a posture. Take a posture. Say, "The life of God is at work in me." Now, like I said, you need to hear yourself. Say it again. The life of God is at work in me. It is at work in every cells, every tissue, every organ. This is the very life of Christ. It strengthens me from inside out. It kills cancer. It kills diabetes. Every negative diseases and pathogens, they die when they touch this life. This is the very life I live. It saturates my blood, all the fluids, all the organs of my body. I walk by this life. I breathe by this life. I move by this life. In the name of Jesus, this is my victory. And this victory overcomes the world.
even my faith.
Listen, sometimes some very powerful example of joy set ahead of you are the things God has revealed to you. When situations come in that are contrary comes, you say no. Number one, the realm where God showed me from, he can't show what doesn't exist. It exists. So I'm going to get there. Yes. One time I had a vision of myself and I saw gray hair. And I saw myself teaching ministers of the gospel from different nations, different tribes, different cultures around the world. Nothing can take my life in between. Amen. Say, I walk in this victory. Please be seated. Now, listen. Listen. One of the litmus tests that the faith you have just confessed did not get to you is that it does not end in joy. Anytime you hit the note with the word of faith, you will hit the note of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. So to confess and not rejoice is not to confess at all. Are you waiting for me to tell you to rejoice? Listen, listen, listen. What I'm trying to tell you is that that persuasion will dig out joy by itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what it means to live a life where you know you can't take my life? The joy of that assurance. It is the blessed assurance. Please be seated. Let me tell you something. One time, I think I've shared this story before. One time we were going to minister somewhere around Ebe. And we're driving from Lekki to Ajaxis and then going to Ebe. And then one of my boys was driving and he said, Pastor, you know, this place, they rob, they attack people here, this. I spoke from my consciousness. Anybody try to attack me, they die. Do you know the number of destinies wired around me? Have you no fear? Do you know the number of destinies wired around? I'm not just saying this to look special. Is it because you don't know yet and you feel you're ordinary? Somebody will just come like that and bring gun and say, that's it. I say, they try it. The jealousy of God will fight them and they die. And the devil really heard what we said. As I finished ministry at around 3 a.m., we're trying to drive to the hotel and I was double-crossed. Some very funny-looking boys with singlets were trying to open the door and come out just at a junction. From nowhere, a big trailer just came and crushed that vehicle. My boys were shaking on the steering. I said, if God has fought for you, what do you do? Reverse and run. No. Hey. He who fight and run away live to fight another. So you want them to come out and say, now I can. Where's my gun? And I say, all of you lie down. He has given you a window of opportunity. Run. What more proof do you? You want to rescue? Oh boy. So we actually reversed and ran. At least God showed up. But I spoke from that consciousness. Never be excited about a future you didn't speak into. Something might be waiting. Your word must go ahead. Hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying. The Bible said, have respect to covenant, for the dark places of this world is full of the habitation of. This is a wicked world, though. This is a very, very, people's life get terminated even by those they help. I'm going there. Now, listen, to survive turbulent times, don't just build strength, build stamina. Don't just build strength. Build what? Stamina. Strength is the ability to stand. Stamina is the ability to withstand. Build stamina. And I've always said this, that what makes you a champion is not the amount of punches you can give the enemy, but how many can you withstand? I watch boxing, and one time I even enrolled in a boxing training. I was training years back, boxing. Till now, I still do one or two at the gym. And I was looking like a local champion until the day they invited a girl. They just said, hey, okay, we have this person. She is fighting at this level. And then, yeah, Femi, come out and both of you come and spar. I didn't know. The girl did something to me. She did not just beat me. She flogged my mindset. That was my last day in boxing training. So I just said, if this is what it is, I'm done. You know, the way they can beat you and beat your mindset. That was what a girl. One other time, you know, all this childish stuff. I said, now I want to join Manowar. Me. Well, you don't know your purpose, you suffer. Everywhere you get to, it look like where you should go. Went to join Manowar. Inside sun, no salary, government don't know we exist. Just be suffering for nothing. Some people want to do burial, they will not say, hey, you come. Now go and be directing car. This one too, it was a girl too that came. Another commandant from another unit, one kind. The girl said, stand at ease, said, attention, sir, I wasn't standing well. Gave me from the back. My head landed. I'm done. Lazarus, come back here now. It's an order. Order, kill you there. sorry, I said that. Oh, okay, order. So, TV people kill me here. Does government know I exist? Do they know I'm dead people? I'm done. Come on, fight in my house. That's how I found it. Praise God. You need stamina. You need to build strength. Not just for the day things are fine. There will be days that things will be stormy. That's the truth. I don't want to go into examples. So you must listen to this. You must live your life in such a way that you have built a spiritual wall of awareness to withstand whatever it is that life wants to throw at you. A spiritual wall of what? Awareness. That is to also know God beyond the pleasantness. One time in my life, I was going through things I could not explain. In fact, at some point, I said, the only way I'm going to survive this, because nobody can really insult my hustle. If I ask you for money, you can't give me. You see? So I started teaching tutorials up and down, teach tutorials up and down, mathematics tutorial, this. And I said, the things I need to break out of this season has not come. I started selling noodles by the wayside. In the night, I will dress myself in apron and I will stand there with my tie and I will arrange the noodles, I will arrange the egg, I will arrange the plates, I will arrange the gas, and I'll be there. And people will pass, who know I'm a pastor? I will say, in fact, I remember the first day. This was how God rescued me from fear. The first day I was going to start, it was close to a place like that, all right, and the people were going to close service, the same people have pastored before, and they were going to close past service and see their former pastor selling noodles. And as they were passing, the entire church students were passing, they will pass right, there's no other way, they'll pass in front of where I was selling noodles. And when I saw it was time for them to close, I wanted to run. The Holy Spirit said, stand, and I stood. And they were passing, my legs were shaking. Some that were laughing were laughing. Some that could come and say, Pastor, what's going on? Those ones came. But when they passed, I could no longer fear any other thing. Don't run away from your fears. Face it. I could no longer fear. Sometimes people say that the things you teach, you are so bold. I ask them, I don't know, it requires boldness. I don't know. Maybe I should be afraid and I don't know. I don't know. Maybe next 20 years, God will play back the pictures of today and say, I don't know. Anything called fear is dead. Face it, sir. It won't kill you. You must build a wall of awareness to know God beyond what is pleasant. You must build a wall of awareness. But beyond all those things, today I want to give you practical tips to survive turbulent seasons and what life throws at you. Practical. Is that okay now? These things I want to teach you helped me. These things I want to teach you, God used it to. Listen, and I'm going to be practical. I'm not going to be religious with you or stuff. I'm just going to tell you as it is. Number one, I've given you number one, so I'm not going to bother going too deep into that. That is, never forget the joy that is set ahead of you. If doctors are saying this, remember what God said. See, I don't subscribe to people saying doctor gave evil report. Doctors are not evil people. They only give you the report of what they are seeing. Is that okay now? But you must have a greater report. That report now becomes the joy set ahead of you. Now, listen to this. Let me share this story with you. You can read this story online of the woman that survived Ebola in Nigeria. I think many people didn't know what Ebola was and how that thing could have brought this nation to our knees. All right? But listen. The moment they discovered in the hospital that many of them had had contact with that guy that came into the country, and then the incubation period, I think, was about 4 days or 5 days before you begin to see signs and all that. I can't remember. I can't remember again. All right? So, the doctors quickly had to quarantine. Some of them had gone home. You know, they had to go through all the procedures to invite them and then quarantine them somewhere. In that ward, I think they made a movie on it. I'm not sure if the movie is that accurate. But this is a story from the woman herself. In that ward where they placed them, okay, people were dying right and left. One of the symptoms of Ebola is that people begin to, it's dehydration. They will vomit and stool till there's no more fluid in the body. So she did two things, and these are very powerful things, which as someone with medical knowledge, she said she was taking oral water, that rehydrating herself. Okay? She knows she will vomit it, but it's better to be taking it. All right? Then she also requested for, I'm not sure if I should go into details, but she requested for a kind of vegetable egg, right? That, right? And then she was drinking it because she understands that it has the power to boost immunity. All right? Then she now did something unusual. She got tips on healing. All right? Kenneth Copeland, Bishop Oyedepo got their tips. She was taking in the physical part, doing what she should do. She was also doing the spiritual one, what she should do. She beat the stuff. When life throws it at you, don't fall. Fight. People are quick to throw in the towel. Fight! Don't just conclude. Maybe this was how it was designed to end. Never. That's why you must know what is written. If not, you will take what you should not take. Are you following what I'm saying here? Fight! Stand your ground! You must see it. The prophecies, the words gone ahead of you. You must see it. Never you despise prophecies. Words have gone ahead of you. God has said many things. Do you have your prophecy note? As the year is ending, the note you fall back to. God, these are your promises about my life. I am yet to see this. I am yet to see that. You said this to me. You showed me a vision. I saw it. I saw it. Now everything is happening contrary. I choose to set this ahead of me. Then I can endure any tribulation. I can endure any problem. Number two, you need the right people around you. The gift of men. The right people. Let me say this to you. Many people are living a very lonely life. And rightfully so. Because they have experienced the vile nature of humans. That you can trust somebody with your entire life and the person will use it against you. Can I quickly share a story with you? There used to be a boy that was brought to me years back. The boy was epileptic. He would roll on the floor and foam. One time it was so shameful that we're going somewhere. He had the epileptic seizure and he rolled. And people gathered. We had to pack him. We cleaned him up. Usually after that, he will be unconscious for a while. All right, because of the stress on his brain. And we laid him beside the road. No, beside a store. People had gathered. Some were leaving, some were staying. Ah, and I thought to myself, I'm telling you a true story. That if this boy gets up, the embarrassment will be too much for him. You know what I did? I lay down beside him. People passed, they came, they don't even know who now had epilepsy. So when he got up, it was the both of us dusting ourselves, and I held his hands and we left. One time when our ministry was starting, I was telling him about the importance, why you should not just be a man of God, get something doing. I was teaching him. And I said, you can look at me, I have several things I'm doing because I don't want to look on to people to eat or do ministry with empty stomach. Is that okay now? Some people gathered and began to insult our ministry and say things. Then one amongst them said, we even heard that he said he can't do ministry on empty stomach. When I heard that word, I became sober. The only person I ever said this to is this guy. And to the best of my knowledge, I've been there for you in a way that even blood brothers can't be there. And I called him to my house. I cooked. And I served him food. Sat down, he was gisting as usual. So I asked him, while he was in the middle of the food, did I offend you? He said, no, you can never offend me, sir. He was eating. Are you sure I didn't offend you? He said. And I said, people were accusing me. And they said something that it was only you I said it to. Why? Then he got up and said, well, I heard them saying things about you, so I said that. So I asked him, in my defense, or to pull me down, and he couldn't talk. So I said, eat up, and he couldn't eat. If you go through some of the things people have the capacity to do, you will almost want to vow, I will not bring anybody close to my heart. But listen, the devil knows that it is still people God will use for you. Separate people from issues. Know those who do not deserve the privileges they are given. Create a system where you make people hand the space in your inner circle. Don't just close that door. Okay? Because the implication of that is that you will live a very lonely life and nobody will be able to pick you up in the days you are weak. And that's what the devil wants. You will be betrayed. You will be lied against. You will be misunderstood. People you trust with the whole of your life will say things and you'll say, and they'll say it's true. Did you not do it? This is outright lies. And they are trying to save their own head. And you have now become the scapegoat. This and many more will happen. How do you then still learn to trust and love people? You must be tougher than the situation. So maybe a girl just broke your heart and said, you say, I will never marry again. No, you will marry. You will marry. Once you go out, eat pepper soup, take malt. No. You have started falling in love again. Started chatting. She say, Uju, how are you? He has started. Sorry if you are Uju. Okay. All right. He has started. Because when problems comes, it makes you say things you don't really mean. Is that okay now? It's okay. But make sure you go back and swallow your words. In this life, I can never love again. You will love. It's just this one that is what? Painful. Swallow it. Okay? Go back and say, I repent. I regret what I said. I swallow back my word. I love you. Can I teach you a very important principle? The reason why the devil, Jesus told Peter, he said, the devil has desired you to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. The question is, why Peter? Because the devil doesn't want Jesus to die just on the cross. He needs him to die offended. It eats differently. if it's those who are close to your heart. Some of the things you say, I don't care. You see, do me this, I don't care. But you notice when it comes to those who are connected to your heart, you care. It is not growth to get to the point where you no longer care. Can I tell you something? I tell myself every time, disappointment will come, betrayals will come, it will come from unexpected sources, and we will gym with it. At the gym, there's a language, no pain, no gain. Okay? So, when you cry, you are gymming. You are building muscles. Where the same thing, listen to what I'm saying. If the same thing brings tears from your eyes again and again, you have not grown. Is that okay now? You have not grown. The same thing will happen and we have seen this now. We have seen this. As I looked ahead of ministry, when God said, now you'll have to do ministry, I saw that one of the areas ministers have issues with is to release people into their own ministry, particularly when they are good people. So what I did was that I sat down and I was staring at the picture of my people. You, I release you. You, I release you. You are still here, but I will never manipulate anybody's destiny to the end that they stay with me. No. If it is God taking you anywhere, the same God who brought you will bring people. See, what I've said now, the first night I did it, I cried. Now you look at people that matter the most in your life, and you also have to think about the fact that a day may come and they may not necessarily be here. No, you have to think about it. The pain of losses is a very sharp pain. It's like a sword passing through your heart. Like a sword. And you look at it and see, at one point or the other, you must make that auto. It is what God keeps that is kept. You must make that oath. And I will never try to manipulate anybody. No. Or turn anybody. No, no. If this is what God is saying, I will say it simply. If the fellow insists on going, I will bless you. Nobody will have to go and start something under me with pain. No. Even if we are not doing it right, maturity will bring you back right. You must make certain decisions that nobody will leave you and hear you saying something bad about them. No. They will go back and hear all your preaching. They can't trace it. Then they know this is a good man. Stop venting. Stop reacting. It communicates that you are a man worthy of being left. Yes. Are you following what I'm saying here? You need people. You need relationships. You need relationships. And you need this relationship in three cardinal points. Number one, you need to relate with those upwards who can lift your hands, either spiritually or in your career or in your field. You need that relationship. Those that God can use to draw you up, you need them. You need mentors. You need guidance. You need role models. You need those who can speak to the storm of your life and say, peace, be still, and it will stop. You need them. You will not be without covering.
Amen.
Say that amen loud and clear.
Amen.
You must have people that God can use to shield you. Relate with those upward. Number two, you need a relationship with those downward. Mentees. People that God is using you to raise, to support. They are also a form of defense. Yes. Sometimes you are going through stuff and you're on a trip and the driver has become so much of a brother that you are just talking, and you understand what I'm saying? Not people you have not trusted, though, because this life. people that can look at their life and say, if not for this person, where would I be? God used you to pay my school fees. God used you to lift me. Plan that in 2024, your living must go beyond daily bread. There must be someone at least who can say, if not for this person. There must be. And it's a form of defense. Look at this scripture. I want us to look at it. 2 Samuel chapter number 21 from verse 17. 2 Samuel 21 from verse 17. 2 Samuel 21, 17. Look at it. Let's start the reading from verse 16 so you can have clear understanding. Please start from verse 16. Thank you. And Ishbi-benob, which was the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and being greeted with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Look at this. That is, he had a clean spot to kill David. All right. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt no more go with us to what? Battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. We are ready to take a bullet for you. If anything happened to any one of us, as long as you are alive, our families will survive. But if you die now, where do we go? These men were the men who came in 2 Samuel chapter number 18 and 1 Samuel 18 as men who were indebted, who were dispirited. Listen to what I'm saying. The proof of your existence must go beyond Britain. Everything existing exists through contribution. We take in air and give back carbon dioxide. The plant uses that. Give us back oxygen. You look at everything. They don't just take, they give. Have that consciousness in your environment. Christmas is coming. Somebody can afford a chicken. Even if all you can do now is frozen one, do it. Thank God for your birthdays in big halls. How about the orphans? Maybe at the end of the year, as you are closing account, and you begin to ask like David, who can I bless? Who can I bless? I have seen people break down in tears because of generosity. It's powerful. It's a form of defense. There are politicians, and politicians understand this more, that you can't arrest them. The bike guys in their areas, all the women there, they will come out and cover the gate and say, you can't pick this person. No. They are a form of defense. So we are not saying we give for that transactional purpose. But we are saying that he that gives to the poor lends to God. And there is a defense that comes from that. There is a defense that comes from that. Is that okay now? Orphanage, home ministry, ministry to the widows. Have you seen people make prayers for you with tears? With tears. I have done things and I see people break down in tears and cry and say, you can never be alone in this life. You can never go down. Touch the heart of people that deep. And let me beg us, enough of this life we live that we don't really connect with people. Our meeting of people should go beyond high. When I meet people and I shake hands, I want to discern in 10 seconds, how can I be of help? Relationship. Very powerful. Then you need the third dimension of relationship. Friends now, sideways. Friends. You need friends. You need friends. Let me tell you this. People, I have seen many statistics. I've thought about them. We have spoken about those things. People talk about how that many pastors, and it's clear, live a life of loneliness and isolation. I honestly don't think it is necessary. I think what happens is, the reason why people can't keep relationships is fear. Everybody is suspecting each other. It's fear. It's fear. Okay? And if care is not taken, ministry can be this place with beautiful decoration, but something dying on the inside. Do you have anybody in your life now that if you are in trouble, Let's assume you are going through lust. Can go and tell, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. And will not ask you a OU. Rather, they will say, my God, we'll hold your hands. You ask questions and you can tell them. And you know they will never use it against you. Because time has tested them. Don't just go and confer this on anybody or you will suffer. There's a balance. Are you following what I'm saying here? There's a balance to what I'm teaching. Just go and drag anybody and say, I'll tell about my life. The next thing, they are with megaphone. You won't believe. See what is happening. Amen. Has done it again. If this is not a doctrine, but I would rather say, beware of a best friend that has another best friend that is not you. It's not a doctrine, but beware. Because that best friend has another best friend. See, this thing called friendship must be a two-sided thing. It is not me relating with myself, it is us relating together. Let me tell you something. If this disappoints you, I don't care. I have friends today that if we meet now, except in church, if they come to my house and we meet, our wives will stand aside. The first 5 minutes is Chinese. I will carry him on the head, sit on. I have videos on my phone. People come and say, Apostle, this is not apostolic. This is friendship. I need a balanced social cycle. People who will not call me apostle and call me by name and say, oh boy, as I'm preaching, some of them are online. Oh, I'm telling you, if anybody should write anything in the comment section, they will help me screenshot it. And say, oh boy, you they preach, but see what this person they write. You see that? And these people are not pastors. Sometimes it is actually the reason why many pastors struggle is because, see, Moses will die early with fellow Moseses, but he will live long with Jethro's. You need people who don't necessarily carry the title of pastor, but carry the wisdom as your friend. The issue is that many people are not humble enough to relate with them because they no send you. They will not go call you pastor. They will not what? Call you pastor. They will call you by your name. Some of them can come to the house and hold me by the throat. This is not the anointed. This is Femi that needs this cycle to be complete. Never ignore that. And maybe the earliest of this relationship will be 7 to 8 years. 15 years. And then, interestingly, there are not many. Because sometimes when you widen that net, you are brought in trouble. You don't need too many friends. You need those that God has called to you. Are you following what I'm saying there? See, this one is my friend. This one is my friend. That one is my friend. You either have low self-esteem or lack of self-awareness. You know, you can have a bad esteem that makes you feel you are the one to make everybody happy. And you gift them access they have not had. It's risky. It's dangerous. It's bad. You will hurt yourself. And that's the pain of lack of wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? Abraham harmed his trained men. So he trained them, then he equipped them. You don't equip, then train. You test, then you trust. You don't trust them to start testing. You must check people. What is their capacity around what? Say something that looks simple. Then wait to check the journey of that word. You see, you trace it. It has gone to this person, that person, that person, that person. It has come back to your table. You have checked that person out. The person may pass as your friend for hello, brothers and sisters in church, but not a confidant. So what you must learn to do is to label people based on capacity. Label people based on what? their capacity, what they have capacity to handle. You need friends. Let me show you a few scriptures. Look at what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17, 17. Talk about a good friend. Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 17. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for the days of what? Adversity. People that different things have happened in your life, people have left you. They know that you were guilty. They can scold, they can defend you outside, but come back to scold you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before you call somebody your friend, check. God forbid shame comes now. Can you cover me? Can you cover me? God forbid anything begins to happen now. Can you cover me? You have a friend, you are married. You have a friend that your wives can't relate. But both of you are friends. It's not true. That friendship is not deep. The wives are the ones that will validate if it is deep. And let me tell you something. Anybody that tries to be your friend but does not like your wife is an enemy. A woman knows the friend that will put you in trouble miles away. And that's why in all your dominion mandate, don't dominate your wife. Once you dominate her, one man down. Now listen, I want to give you very important things here. There are friends who can mourn with you, but can't rejoice with you. They are the most dangerous. Think about what I've just said. The problem is that you feel a friend is measured by when things are down. In all honesty, the higher you climb, the more serious your testimony becomes. A friend is that who is secure around your joy. That I can tell this person what God has done for me, and this person is not experiencing it and is truly happy for me, while he's still saying, God, to do my own too. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's because you have not stopped touching some big things. Then you will know, not everybody have the capacity to know about your testimonies. Testimonies that they will hear and they will not be insecure. And next time they are talking, they will say, we, that we don't have what you have now. So it doesn't look, you know, they are already throwing those shades. We now, that we don't have, we are not working in millions, you know, but God is there for us too. I know you have been there to cry with me in the days I cry. Can you also be there to celebrate in days I'm celebrating? I know that you are still trusting God for that thing. I have one of my friends, and our ministry was going through a season where we needed the resources so bad that 10,000 naira will even change our containers. And there he was sharing testimonies with me about somebody came into church and the fellow saw the church and then sold a seat of $50,000 and then this and that. And I was gauging my heart. I was checking my spirit and I saw that indeed and truly my joy is full for my friend. Whilst I would still go to God and say, to the God who have done this, you are in the neighborhood. Listen to what I'm saying. When God begins to lift people and you start fighting them, you have left the neighborhood of the miracle. You have left. Stay in that same neighborhood. That is not the time to begin to tell them, will you believe that I did it last time? Shut up. There is a test you must pass. Pass that test. Truly joyful for them and not trying to milk them. Are you aware that there are testimonies people are afraid to share in church? Because the moment you share that testimony, and you won't believe there's a project we have. So people would rather say, you know what? In fact, it has gone so bad that there are tithes. People are afraid to give in church. Because If somebody gives a tithe of 100 million, that's all, they will trace the person. And then somebody who is checking the account will say, Todd, if you have this 100 million, you should have more. And that's why I said there are very few people that can accept your generosity and not try to use you. Very few. That I've done something for you, and you can see from the depth of my heart, this that I have done is not because I have too much, but because I love you. In selecting friends, please make sure that you check capacity. Many people who come and claim to be your friends, you must know how to name them and put them where they belong. Politely. You don't have to do a thing of, if we are not friends, we are enemies. I can name you, your day will come. Every once in a month, we can gist. How are you doing these days? But you know the person you talk to only once in a month is not really a friend. Let's be honest. True or not true? The people who see that God is doing something in your life and can call you to acknowledge it, they are friends. But they are quiet and say, I'm just a quiet person. No. Beware. But you need friends. Is that okay now? You need what? You need friends. Friends that sticks close, like brothers. Get your inner circle right. The man by the pool of Bethesda was there for 30 and 8 years. Why? Not because there was no miracle, but because there was no man. When you master the science of a relationship, you make it easy for God to lift you on time. Listen to what I'm saying. Even if people have hurt you, don't let them go with the hurt. It is petty to allow them hurt you twice. I know you have done something bad, but I will rename this. Be in a space where we can be useful for each other. Okay? Be in that space. Don't just cut people off and just say, we will never meet again. Some of you right now, your Instagram block area is more filled than Nigerian prison. Block. It is now so bad, somebody just chat you up on WhatsApp and they say, hello, how are you doing? Block. Set the captives free. Some of you are already doing this one. Okay, I'll try. But that one, never. Why are you so cruel? Blocked WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You see that place called Twitter? Oh my. I don't know. Let me just keep quiet. Because, in fact, if you want to really do ministry, avoid social media to a large extent. Lest the praise of men make your crown fall, or their criticism push you out of your calling. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm telling you that you need friends. And understand that they are going to make their mistakes. Is that okay now? You forgive. Somebody is asking, are there kind of mistake that is unpardonable? I'm not sure I should honestly answer that yet till Tuesday, because so the man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, he said, because I have no man. What about when Jesus was preaching in Capernaum? There was a man that was paralyzed. He couldn't do anything for himself. But the Bible said he had four friends who climbed the roof of the place where Jesus was ministering. Open, they were ready to take a risk. You, all the friends you have, if you tell them I need, before you even finish typing, I need, there's an automated message. I just gave my sister yesterday. I told myself, I want to live a life where if people ask me genuinely, if I have, I give. But there's also a balance to know when they are trying to take advantage of you. Because if you keep packing from the same source, you are not pulling back. How can it be that the first time we are talking, you are telling me about a problem that requires... Let me balance it. Because the work of a pastor is critical. And we must not be emotionally absent. It is very possible that somebody is coming to a space for the first time and the person has a problem and they are part of your mighty men. Don't define them by that problem. Do what you can do and never mention it. Don't also live a life where it looks like you are trying to control them because you have helped. Is that okay now? But I'm saying that you must, in the midst of your generosity and kindness, you must have a heart that identifies those who are now trying to take advantage of you. People have genuine issues, separate them. Is that okay now? And do what you can do. Mm-hmm. Is this simple enough? Who in your life can take a risk for you? Who amongst your friends can stand as a guarantor? Who amongst your friends can use their car, their house, as, what's it called now, lawyers? Collateral. That they can say to, if you go down, we go down together. We will stand by you. Some of you have friends that every time in your company now, or your WhatsApp group, every time somebody say, I need money, everybody say, yeah, God will provide. Is it not clear enough that by this time, as we are starting a new year, have a system of contribution? If you need, let's say, 100 million now to quickly turn something over, what is the weight of your cycle? Everybody will just tell you, bless you, bro, bless you, bro. The things we do to ourselves in church. See, I need so and so amount, and my friends, let's come to, what's the most common language? My God! Exclamation mark. My 7 exclamation. Cobble won't come out. Or you see, oh wow. When will we begin to have friends who can strengthen each other? Plan. See, don't just pray together. Plan. Plan. Every time. La copoco is very good. Our friends will pray together. But what is the economic weight of that relationship? You have tried it 5 times this year. Guys, I need something quickly. Everybody just say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. The next time, my God shall. When will you change this narrative? Please get the balance. Don't say, Apostle, preach this now. You put money in the hands of somebody who deleted the WhatsApp group and left. I left everyone stranded because I'm following what Apostle preached. Please get it in context. Is that okay now? Sometimes you have people who may not have resources, but they have voices. You must understand that. I want to give an illustration, but so I don't sound nepotic. So I'm just going to leave that. Are you aware that there are friends that are better trusted than family members? There are family members that if they know your real worth, they will kill you today. You will die. If they know your real worth, you will die. Yes. Let me wrap up by telling you this story. One time in my life, I was going through what I would call my worst storm, where I thought to myself, I could no longer stay in the house alone. I would cry myself to sleep and continue crying when I wake up. So I have to check amongst my friends, who is that person that has the spirit of joy? One who lives a life where he is always happy. I check. I said, this guy. I packed my few things and went to his house. I passed through that stage without feeling the weight, because your iron sharpened iron, all right, he sustained my infirmity. This guy, if I say, let's pray, 5 minutes, he'll be snoring. But he carries the spirit of grace and joy. He's a very happy person. Next time he's saying, oh, let's make spag. Let's, with all my problem, I will eat the spag. Till I pass through that phase, I didn't even know that. You need friends you can define for different things. There are times that you are down. Don't go and look for that one who knows how to pray, but who is not happy. Do you understand the balance? Very important. Okay? Have you been blessed today? Let's give Jesus a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's get up. Can we hold our hands with somebody? Two hands joined together, face the person and minister strength to the person.
quickly. Just decrease strength. Minister strength to the person. Just decrease strength. Quickly. Minister strength to the person. Minister strength. Quickly. Minister strength to the person. I minister strength to you. You are strengthened in the name of Jesus. Minister strength to the person. Quickly. Minister encouragement. You can discern something as you are praying for the person and begin to release words in that direction. Minister encouragement. Minister help. Sometimes it might just be a word you said in passing while praying. That's what the person needs for the new face. Go ahead. Minister it. Minister strength. Yes. Minister encouragement. The hand of God strengthens you in the name of Jesus. You know what to do by the help of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. You know what to do. In the name of Jesus. Rakos teflente kredish tofradish le kapatai. Strength in every area, in your thoughts, in your thinking. As you think ahead of the future, strength comes. In the name of Jesus. Oh, ratekos tofradish. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Now, everybody lift up your hands. Your going on and coming in is blessed.
Amen.
The redeemed of the Lord will doubtlessly return.
Amen.
Your clothes, your bags, your shoes will not be sent back home.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree that strength is administered.
Amen.
I sense as I was teaching there was a release of the spirit of joy.
Amen.
Joy like a river.
Amen.
Joy like a river. Can we use 30 seconds to rejoice quickly? Amen. Shout rejoice! Oh, joy, 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 joy! Joy like a river! Joy like a river! We rejoice! We rejoice! Oh, thank you, Lord! The days of tears are over. And because of that joy, it is with joy we draw from the wells of salvation. You begin to draw. You start getting inspiration. Life! Life! In the name of Jesus, it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give Jesus a big, big hand.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.